Hello, thank you for visiting the podcast of the Vineyard Church in Campbellsville, Kentucky. If you haven't already, feel free to visit our audio archive at vineyardcampbellsville.org or subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. And now here is this week's message brought to you by Senior Pastor Adam Russell.
All right, everybody good this morning? Yeah, happy Sunday. Welcome to the Vineyard. Glad you're here. How many of you were here last week when David spoke for me? Did he do a good job? He's not here, but we need to give him we need to do this because I want him to hear it on the audio archive. Right here. There we go. Got to get it in my microphone, you know? Yeah, it's really cool. I can officially be hit by a bus now. Because if I get hit by a bus, we'll just turn the church over to David and it's all good. All right. Hey, that was a joke. It's okay, guys. You can laugh about my demise. I'm really not that worried. I'll tell you what I want to do this morning. I want to talk to you about some things I've been stewing on lately. I've had a bunch of long airplane rides lately, and when you get on an airplane for a really long time, you eventually run out of things to watch, and you have to think. So I want to talk to you about a few of those things, and here's what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about breath, flow, and the life of a disciple. That's what we're calling this message this morning. Breath, flow, and the life of a disciple. I want to read you three scriptures that are in some ways unrelated, but I think they actually are telling a very similar story. They're all out of the Gospels except for one. I'll read you three, and then we're just going to talk about some ideas that sort of come out of these three scriptures, if that's all right. Let's put our first one up. This would be out of the Gospel of Matthew. This is chapter 10. This is when Jesus sends out the 12 disciples. It goes like this. Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these instructions. Don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. That'd be the part you'd want to underline. All right, now let's look at the next one. This is out of the Gospel of John. And this is when Jesus appears to the disciples after he's been resurrected. These guys are like locked up in a room because they're afraid. And it goes like this. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. And as he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and on his side. And they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. And again he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. Then he breathed on them. I always wonder if Jesus had bad breath. It's just the way I read the Bible. Then he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. You'd probably want to underline that for today. If you forgive anyone's sins, they're forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. And then the last passage here. This is out of Acts. This is Jesus speaking to the disciples right before he is ascended into heaven. And he says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Here's what I want to do before we start talking about a bunch of stuff. Let's just do a little group exercise this morning. Here's what I'd like you to do this morning. Why don't you all just breathe in? Okay, keep breathing in. Don't let it out. Come on. See, I saw you guys. I saw it right there. That little doesn't work very well, does it? Okay, let's try the opposite. Just breathe out. Push all the breath out of your lungs. Keep going. Just keep going. Anybody lightheaded yet? Yeah. Isn't it amazing how quickly either one of these options quits being an option? Yeah, it's amazing how quickly breathing in becomes a thing you cannot do anymore, and similarly, how quickly breathing out becomes a thing that you cannot do anymore. In fact, one of the weird things about breathing is it's one of these things that's necessary to your life, but we literally never think about it. Right? You could go entire decades and never think about the fact that you're breathing. You could live 10 years and never think about it. This has been my experience anyway. The only time I think about breathing is if I get really sick or if you're in some sort of life-threatening situation where air supply becomes an issue, right? When I was little, I got pneumonia, got really sick, and my Aunt Anne got so worried about me. And she thought I was going to die. She even told me, "You're not doing good," and had that serious tone. And my mom took me to the doctor, and come to find out, I had pneumonia. And the reason that I was in such bad shape is my lungs were filled with crud, you know? And breathing had become an issue. And I started thinking about breathing, even though I was a little guy. I was thinking about it all the time. Can I get enough? And can I get it out, you know? A couple years ago, slightly different story. Heather and I, we went to Hawaii with her mother and father. Only time in my life I ever had 2 weeks off. I just highly recommend that, you know? And we were in Hawaii, and Ray Ray and I, we would go snorkeling every morning. Now, here's the thing about the water in Hawaii. It's really clear. In fact, this is the thing about really clear water. It's really hard to determine how deep clear water is. Have you ever noticed that? Like, so there were moments where Ray Ray and I, we'd go out into these giant, like, lagoons, and maybe the water would be 4 feet deep, and you could, you know, if you got any kind of trouble, you stand up, right? And it's perfectly clear. But what's weird is you could also suddenly, like two strokes later, you could be in water that's 30 feet deep, and it looks the exact same because the water is so clear. There's something about depth perception that doesn't really work. Well, one morning, Ray Ray and I are in this really big lagoon, and there's all these like sea turtles around. It was totally fascinating. Every living creature in the world was just around us, you know? And we're swimming, and we went from like 4 feet of water to 30 feet of water just in two little strokes. And we had the snorkels things on. You look like an idiot, but you have to do it. So we're having the snorkels on and whatnot, and Ray somehow gets water in his snorkel. Anybody, has that ever happened to anyone? It's terrifying. Like all of your survival stuff kicks in, and you think you're dying. You're not dying. All you have to do is blow it out of the snorkel, right? Just blow it out of the snorkel. Well, it got water in his snorkel, and he sort of freaked out. And then all of a sudden, Ray Ray's sinking, right? And he grabs me. Now we're both sinking, you know, in 30 feet of water. He's sort of a big guy, and I'm under him. And I remember, it's weird. When you're about to die, everything slows down, really. And I remember being under him, and I'm, you know, doing this. I'm just everything I have. And somehow I think my adrenaline kicked in and his kicked in. And he made a couple big kicks, got the snorkel cleared of the water, and he got a couple big kicks. And next thing you know, we're in 4 feet of water and everything's cool. And Ray Ray's like, you know, for a few minutes there, we were thinking a lot about breathing. All right, what is all this about? Well, here's what I've been thinking about. I've been thinking about the fact that breathing in and breathing out, it's a metaphor for your life. That's what I've been thinking about lately. It's the reason I read those scriptures to you this morning. All three of those scriptures are about breathing in and breathing out. And the reason it's a metaphor for your life is this, that if you become the sort of person who only breathes in, or if you become the sort of person who only breathes out, metaphorically speaking, with your life, you'll die. Really, really quickly. This is what I've also noticed. I've noticed that most of us in the room, we have a tendency to either be a breathing in person or to be a breathing out person. When it comes to the way that we orient in the world, we tend to be breathing in or breathing out people. Now, we kind of have to define the terms at this point. Well, what does it mean to be a breathing in person? I want to just frame this morning. I want to frame this within the context of being a disciple of Jesus, but this has ripples that go beyond just being a disciple of Jesus. This really has to do with just being a person. But for the sake of our time together, I want to talk about being a disciple. Well, here's what breathing in means. It really just means receiving. It means receiving from God. Maybe it means receiving prayer. You know, we do prayer at the end of meetings, and you know, maybe you come up and you need prayer and you get prayer. Maybe it's receiving from your quiet time. Like, I hope everybody here has a time in their life where they like read their Bible a little bit and you just get quiet and you receive. Yeah, it has to do with that. Breathing in is receiving from prayer, receiving from your friendships. I hope everybody in here has some friends, like some actual friends. And you receive from them, and then, you know, good things happen in your life, Or maybe you go to a counselor because things get wacky in your life, and you go to a counselor and you receive from the counselor. Or you let me see, what else? It's just receiving. That's all I'm trying to get at. And that's what breathing in is. It's taking something in. But I hope you understand that every single thing that I just gave you as an option there, how many of you noticed that all of those things were good things? Receiving prayer is a good thing. Receiving from your quiet time is a good thing. Receiving from friends. Receiving from God. Receiving from the community of God's people. All those things, really good things. And can I tell you something? If you live your life only receiving, it'll kill you. Isn't that weird? Did you know that good things can kill you? Yeah, it can kill your discipleship to Jesus. And then it also ends up killing just who you are. On the other end, there's breathing out. And what is breathing out? Breathing out is giving away. It's about service. It's about, at least in the context of being a disciple of Jesus, it's about doing the ministry. Maybe rather than receiving prayer, it's about being the person who prays. Or within the context of like some of the ministry we do at the Vineyard here, like maybe giving prophetic words of encouragement to people, or serving the poor, or leading worship, or hosting home groups, all of those things. Giving, giving, giving. And just like breathing in, if you only do that, it'll kill you. Here's the weird thing. Breathing out, it'll kill you. It'll absolutely kill you. Did you know that if you pray for people, and you serve the poor, and if you lead home groups, host home groups, and give people prophetic words of encouragement, and if you do all of that and you never receive, how many of you understand it'll kill you even though all those things are good? Why? Because life isn't breathing in or breathing out. It's both. That's what life is. I think you get the picture. But as obvious as it is, I want to be abundantly clear. Jesus said in John 10 that he came to give people life, like abundant life, overflowing life. And the only way that I've seen, both in the scriptures and in my own experience, the only way to have abundant life is to be the kind of person who is breathing in and breathing out. All right, let's just make this real practical for us. Some people here this morning are a little confused. And here's what I mean. I mean, you've read all the right books. And you listen to all the right podcasts. And you've gone to all the right conferences. And you've had important people pray for you. And you've even let unimportant people pray for you. Not only that, but you know what number you are on the Enneagram. And you've even figured out who everybody else is in the Enneagram. And then at the end of it, you just feel sort of like blah, like look. You just feel bloated and blah, just like you did a couple days ago when you got up from the Thanksgiving dinner table. And some of us don't really know what to do. Like, we don't have much direction. Like, in the last 10 years, hardly anything has changed in our life. Like, we've received and we've received, but then it's not gone anywhere. We have all this information, but we have very little wisdom. That'd be another way to say it. Tons of experiences, but we're not very good at being anything other than a part of something. We're having a hard time sharing things. Well, there's a good reason for that. And it's probably because you've gotten stuck breathing in and you've never really begun to breathe out. And then on the other side, some people in this room are like really tired. Really tired. You've lost your pop. You've lost some of your joy. You lost your step. And you've been gritting your teeth. Like going through life, you're just gritting your teeth. Not only that, but some of us here at night, you're actually gritting your teeth. You're not just metaphorically gritting your teeth, but at night, you're grinding your teeth. And you know one of the reasons you're grinding your teeth at night? It's because you're living a life where you're grinding your teeth. Yeah, sometimes the things that happen to us in reality are really just expressions of what's happening on the inside for real. And the reason that we're so tired is because we've done so much. Like you've fed the hungry, and you've prayed and counseled everyone, and you've taught home groups for like 97 years in a row without a break. And you're on the greeting team and the worship band, and you run an apologetics class for all the skeptics in your life, and you pray for sick people even if they don't ask for prayer, you know? Like you hear a sniffle, you're like, you run them down. You say, I'm going to pray for you, whether you like it or not. And then at the end of it all, there's just not much left. Like there used to be some power in your life. There used to be some expectation, but now everything feels really flat, really really flat and not much happens. And the irony of it all is that you're doing more than you ever did before. Well, what is that? Well, it's just, that's breathing out and there's no breathing in to go along with it. And in both cases, we're left wondering, well, what's wrong? Well, here's the thing. What's wrong is these two things have to be married, especially for disciples of Jesus. If you want to have life, like actual life, you're going to have to receive, and whatever you receive, you have to give away. Why? Well, here's what I figured out about people. All of us have limited capacity. That's part of what it means to be a person. You're not an unlimited being. You can only be so smart. You can only be so strong. You can only be so clever. You can only be so whatever. That's part of what it means to be a person. And even in your actual physiology right now, your lungs can only take in so much air. Like even if you're Lance Armstrong and your lungs are three times the size of everyone else's, your lungs still eventually fill up. That's what it means to be a person. Limited capacity. The weird thing is that we know and we love and we try to serve an unlimited God. And so some of us in the room are thinking, well, I just know there has to be more to this Christian thing, and I know there has to be more to God, and I know the Holy Spirit is up to more. And you know what? Your assumptions are absolutely right. There's always more to God. He's always doing more, and he's always saying more. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. When an unlimited being meets a limited being like you and I, the only way for you and I to step into the more is to begin to give away that which he's already given us. Otherwise, we just become stagnant. That's the flow part of this. In and out. In and out. And some of us right now, we're bumping up against not the meanness of God, and we're not bumping up against the stinginess of God, and we're not bumping up against the unwillingness of God. What we've actually bumped up against is our own limited capacity, and God is trying to say, through the way that he has made us, let something go. Like literally, let something go. Or take something in. Take something in. Like you're not going to get any more. There's nothing. You're sealed. You're there. You got to let it go. And especially when it comes to the treasure in your life. Especially when it comes to the treasure in your life. The things that have been so precious to you. You got to step in and let those go. Got to let those go. That's the flow. In and out. Not only that, I hope you notice this. If you think about this afternoon, if you begin to think at all about this, what you'll notice is that this idea of breathing in and breathing out, this idea of flow, receiving and giving, that it's quite literally sewn into the universe. Like every single system works off of this. Anybody here ever been out to the West Coast and seen like the redwood forests? Yeah. Okay. If you haven't, this is your homework. Spend whatever money it takes. Don't go to Garcia's for a year. Right? Put mediocre Mexican food on the shelf for a year and fly yourself to the West Coast and see the redwoods. Can I get an amen there? Yeah, okay, listen. I went to the redwood forests and I got totally like freaked out in there. It's so quiet. That's the other thing. People don't tell you about the redwood forest. It's so quiet. I mean, I stood in there with my wife and we both were certain that Gandalf was going to come out and get us. It just has that feeling. It's super spooky. It was like a Thursday morning at 11 and it was just like, we're there. Those trees are enormous. Heather has a picture of me at some point standing in front of a tree, and the tree is, I counted, we did some rough measurements. The tree was 39 feet across. And it was 380, there was a little plaque, it was like 380 feet tall. Do you know how tall 380 feet is? That's taller than a football field, you know? And it was 39 feet across. It's a massive tree. How many of you know you don't get to be a massive tree unless there's some stuff in the soil, right? Yeah. And what's in the soil? Other giant dead trees. That's what's in the soil. Like this thing of giving and receiving, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Other giant trees died in the ground, and then all of a sudden that became the context. They, in their own way, they gave their life so that some other little seed could receive from it, right? Like resurrection is just sown into the universe, breathing in and breathing out. Even nature is breathing in and breathing out. So there's just this flow thing. That's how we have life. I want to talk to you more specifically about flow for a second. I don't know about you guys, but I grew up watching nature shows. Did you guys grow up watching nature shows? Like when I was a kid, there was nothing on TV. Like there was cartoons on until about 10, and then after 10, it was nature shows until like 3 in the afternoon, right? And they were all like, they were all sort of like B-minus cinematography, but it's weird. You can take B-minus cinematography, and if you put a narrator with a British accent over it, it's magic, you know? It just works. For those of you who are wanting to make films, that's, you might want to put that in your notes. When you don't know what to do, hire a British voiceover. And then, you know, things like Planet Earth come along, you get A-plus cinematography, and you get David Attenborough, and it's... Anyway, I grew up watching these nature shows, and I remember watching shows about rivers. You ever watch those shows about rivers? Like really, the really big ones, like the Nile and the Amazon? I remember this one about the Amazon in particular. And they were talking about how in the Amazon River, that it's one of the most biodiverse places on the planet. It's in fact so biodiverse that even though scientists have been studying up and down this river for decades, and even though we have all of our best biologists going to this area, they still haven't found all the living creatures that live there. Like, people regularly still find species that we didn't know about. People are logging brand new plants that we didn't know about today. Somebody probably found something today that we didn't know about, and they put it in the book. Or some little animal that we didn't know about. It's been there all along, and we didn't know about it, and we've got iPhones in our pockets, and we're still finding out there's things that we don't know, right? It's totally amazing. I love the idea that there's a spot on the planet where things are happening and we don't understand it, you know? Anyway, but the reason there's all this biodiversity and there's all this life along the Amazon River is because it's a river. Because this river is so flipping big and it has so much flow. Now, how does a river get that big and have that much flow? Well, it has tons of tributaries that feed it, right? What are tributaries? Tiny little streams. They feed it, and it becomes a river not just when the tributaries feed it, but when there's not a hard stop at the back of that feed so that it doesn't become a lake and it can become a river that has flow. So there's all this that's coming in, and what's going out is just as much. Yeah. Okay, question. Who here would like their life to be an Amazon River, right? I would like my life to be an Amazon River. I actually think this is the call of God on every person, is to be an Amazon River. So how do we do this? Well, it's very simple. You got to get some tributaries in your life. Now, here's the good news. God is so kind that he has... There are certain tributaries that he's given to everyone. So just being alive here and being in this room this morning and being a breathing person, the good news is there are streams of life coming to you. Jesus says it this way in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "My Father sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." Did you know that God is even doing good things for terrible people? I love that. It's one of my favorite ideas about God, is that to the worst people, he is also sending his rain. That's amazing. We have this idea that God is only doing good things for good people. No, he's doing great stuff for terrible people and really pretty okay people. Yeah, what is that? It is, to use a Methodist term, it's just the grace of God coming into people's lives right now. So if you're alive, it's just coming into you, you know? Man, I love that. But here's the other part. If you want to have a river as big as the Amazon going in your life, you're going to need some other tributaries. More than just God's grace that is open and available to everyone. So what are the tributaries? Well, there's lots of them. But here's a few, and you already know these, but I'll just reinforce them because I'm a pastor. You need to read your Bible. Here's what's weird. If you read the Bible more than like 4 days in a row, and if you ever begin to get so deep that you start to read the things that are not your favorite passages, like if you get past 1 Corinthians 13, just like you just move past it somehow, you know, if you ever get into some other part, here's what happens. There'll be a little stream of life that'll come alive in your heart. I guarantee you. Here's what I would like everybody in here to do if you're not a Bible reader. Read the Gospel of Mark and tell me what fault you can find in Jesus. Okay? It will cause a stream of life to come alive in your heart. It's amazing. What else can you do to dig a tributary? You can just begin to pray. If you pray 4 or 5 days in a row, literally 2 minutes a day, like you can set the bar that low. You don't have to be a prayer warrior. I'm not even sure that God is asking for prayer warriors. Here's what it is. If you just begin to talk to God about anything for a couple minutes a day, and if after 4 or 5 days, if you begin to run out of things to pray for yourself, and if you begin to enter into prayer to where it is, God, I just enjoy being with you. And then if you ever begin to pray for other people, and then God Almighty, if you ever begin to pray for your enemies, that's like PhD level stuff. Here's what will happen. There'll be a stream of life that'll come from out of nowhere into your heart. How else can you dig tributaries? You could just forgive someone. You could just forgive someone. It's amazing. Probably everybody in the room has somebody they don't like. Come on. You've probably sent your wife a text message about someone in the last 2 weeks, you know? It was super rude. Yeah. Come on, am I right? Yeah, don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. Like, I know how people are, right? Yeah, I mean, we've probably done that. What if we just let somebody off the hook? Like today, what if we were just like, you know what? I'm just going to forgive somebody today, you know? Especially the person who was like super bad to you. What happens? Stream of life begins to come into your heart. No, what I'm not saying is you let somebody walk all over you, FYI. That's not what forgiveness is. I always feel the need to do this thing on what is forgiveness. We don't have time for that. But you could just begin to forgive someone, right? Yeah. Streams, tributaries. What else? I'll give you one more. We're good on time. I'll give you one more. You can begin to awaken to the personal voice of God in your life. Let me explain that. Okay, so God is always speaking. That's his nature. He created the universe by talking. But how many of you know that as intimacy increases, the specificity of the language between the two intimate people also becomes, it goes up. The specificity goes up. We would call this, I'm not a linguist, but you call it insider and outsider language. You ever heard of this? Yeah. Let me put it this way. How many of you know that people in Kentucky talk different than people in New York? We have a fellowship here. We have a fellowship here that is based upon geography and history and family ties. And so because of that, our language is different and it relates to our proximity and our intimacy. Does that make sense? Okay, now let's go further in. How many of you know that people in Taylor County talk different than people in Russell County? It's really weird, isn't it? How many of you have ever noticed that once you're in Taylor County, like we talk a certain way here, and then once you get to, I don't know where it is, but somewhere on 80 in Adair County, things change. Have you ever noticed that? It's amazing. And then the further south you go, by the time you get to Russell Springs and then on down, it's lot, not rot, fought, battery. It's incredible. And then what is that? Well, what we have is a more intimate group, right? And so the language changes. Okay, now let's take it away from like regional and let's make it more heart level stuff. How many of you know that that you talk to me different than you talk to your best friend or your best group of friends? Anybody in here have a best friend group? If you don't, you need one. Like it's the priority of your life. There's two things you have to do this year. Go see the Redwoods and get a friend. How do I get a friend? Quit. Filter. Yeah. How do you get a friend? I buy lunch. You know, I don't know. It's not hard, really. Anyway, but how many of you know that within your friend group, the language changes again? And so you'll talk to me and you'll talk to everybody else in this room one way. You'll just talk to us as Kentuckians from Taylor County or Central Kentucky. But then within your friend group, there's something different, right? And then, I don't know if you're aware of this, but at least those of you who are married should be aware of this, that within your marriage, there is a language and there is a set of words that is only used within your marriage. You may have never thought of this. I'll just tell you this. Heather and I have words that mean things to us that wouldn't mean the same thing to you. There are even words that you all know, but they're different. Why? Because intimacy has gone way up, and so language has shifted massively, right? Okay, so we just went from like New York all the way down to being married, right? What's the point here? Well, it's the same thing with you and God. I don't know if you're aware of this. It's totally the same thing with you and God, because there is a way in which God has spoken to the world. Hebrews says that in the old times, he used to speak to us one way, but these days he speaks to us by his son. And the us there is like the royal us. It's all of us. It's the whole world. But then as you and I come into relationship with Jesus in an intimate way, and as we get to know God in an actual for real way, the language that God uses with you will be different than he uses with someone else in this room. You have to discover that. I'll tell you one story. I think I told it here a few years ago, but I'd say most of you haven't heard it. When Heather and I were building our house, it was crazy. I told you that story a few weeks ago about how my neighbor just wanted to sell me the land. Y'all remember that? Yeah, so we bought the land, right? And before we built the house, we owned the land for a while, and I was so weird. I would just go, I just want to be out on that land. You know, it was just cool. It's like, I own it, you know? I've never owned anything like this in my entire life, and I would just go stand out there. Well, when I started going out there, a hawk would come and follow me around. It was the weirdest thing. And I was out there, and there'd be this red-tailed hawk, and it would fly over me. I didn't think much of it, because it was like, well, I'm here in the river or whatever. There's a hawk, you know? And so I would leave. But what's weird is I would come out like some other time that week, and that there'd be another hawk would come and fly right over me, and these things would fly low, and they don't normally do that. They would fly right over me. And then I would leave, and I would come back, and the flipping hawk, you know? And this happened like 7 or 8 times. And at a certain point, 7 or 8 times into this, I started to have this thought. This is not normal. This is so consistent. This is not normal. And so I just prayed this quick little prayer. I said, God, are you trying to talk to me? Right? It was the weirdest thing. And instantly, I got this little response back from God. And it wasn't like external audible. It was like internal. You know what I'm talking about? It was that internal voice of the Spirit. And it was instant. And it was just, I see you. Man, I felt the tenderness of God, right? Instantly. This continued to happen the whole time we're building the house. If I would go out there, there'd be this hawk. And I just knew that what that meant was God sees me, right? On the day that we move into the house, which was right around Easter, the day that we moved into the house, we're like loading up, and we're finally going to sleep there the first night. And I step out onto the front porch, and I jump into the front yard, and I look up, and there are 3 hawks flying around. No, I have, to this day, I've never seen this again. I've never seen hawks fly together. They don't do that. I've watched enough nature shows to know this, okay? Maybe 2 when they're mating, but never 3. Like, that's just not the way it goes. There are 3 red-tailed hawks flying over my head. Now, at this point, I know what to do, so I said, you know, God, are you trying to speak to me? And instantly, the voice of the Spirit comes back to my heart, and he says, we see you. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, phew, little Trinity. And, you know, I get the hawk, you know, the thing, you know? You know, they were like screaming over my head, you know. I've lived at my house now for a long time, 10 years. I think it's 10 years now. And here's what's weird. That kicked off this thing in my life where I started realizing, oh, God wants to speak to me in this very intimate and personal way. And so when I go out, especially when I go on ministry trips or anything, if I see a hawk, I know that God is with me. That's not what it means for you. I mean, maybe it does, but that's really not what it means for you. It's just what it means for me, you know? Here's the thing. I'm not a special person. That's not it. This is how God wants to talk to everybody. He wants to speak to you by the Scripture. He wants to speak to you by his Son. And then there's something else. He wants the specificity of your intimacy to change the language. And you know what? When that begins to happen, it's another tributary that begins to let go in your heart. Now, the only way for your life to become a river is to let it go. You can't hold on to it. You can't just let it be this thing that you have. You know, you have to let it go. In the context of being a disciple, when you learn how to pray, your prayer life will dry up unless you start teaching other people how to pray. When you begin to read the Bible and get insight, your insight will dry up and die unless you begin to take someone with you and teach them the scripture. Your intimacy with God and the feeling that he's with you, it'll begin to evaporate unless you bring someone else and begin to show them the ways in which God is kind. And does this make sense? Let me tell you, this is life, by the way. You do this stuff, your provision from God, it'll be like, God is no longer providing for me. What is that? Why don't you start giving some of your stuff away to people, especially undeserving people? Yeah, you know? Find the worst person you know and begin to give them. Why? Because God has been so freaking generous to me and you. That's why. And you might be thinking, well, I'm really poor here. Well, yeah, maybe. But here's the other part. The truth is, we're the richest people in the history of the world ever, right now. Begin to turn it loose. Why? When we do that, we step into life. We step into flow. We start breathing in and breathing out, right? Everything that God has done for you, you have to give it away. Otherwise, your limited capacity begins to kick in, and then you start thinking things about God that aren't true. Oh, he's not taking care of me anymore. He doesn't speak to me anymore. He doesn't let me feel his affections anymore. None of that's true. It's just your limited capacity kicked in with an unlimited God, and until we let go, our life can't have any flow. Does that make sense? All right, amen. Hey, if you're on the ministry team this morning, come on up.
Thank you again for stopping by the podcast at the Vineyard Church in Campbellsville, Kentucky. If you'd like to keep up with what's happening here at the Vineyard, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Until next time, peace to you.